back, everybody, to the newest episode of Not Enough Wrestling. I know it's been a couple of months, it's been a couple of pay-per-views, but back. And tonight we have the supervisor, we got Just Josh, we got back once again Stephanie the Phoenix, and of course you got Matt the All-Star Jones. The Faction of Satisfaction is ready to give you a good episode speaking on the Money in the Bank pay-per-view that just happened a couple of days ago. By the time you listen to this, whether night, day, or afternoon. So we're going to give a quick run through what we thought about it. Going off the first match would be the pre-show match, which was the Usos defeating the Mysterios for the tag team titles, which I thought was pretty good.
It was definitely a good match. I'm a little upset they did it in the pre-show, but really good match.
Yeah, we're hopping right into it. As was I, but I mean, it makes sense because like the Usos were involved. They were both involved in the main event thing. So I guess it makes sense that you need to give the other tag titles a spotlight. And the Mysterios had that entrance too, which I thought was cool. And the match was good too.
I mean, they still gave the ending to Roman Reigns. So it's like they started the show. The whole family started the show and they ended the show. So it was, I guess it makes sense, but I still didn't like it.
Sue?
Yeah, I agree. It shouldn't have been on the pre-show. That should have been a main show match.
Well, what do you think from the main card should have been on the pre-show then?
Honestly, every match could have been on a show because you took out the fact that you didn't have the SmackDown Women's Championship. She didn't defend her belt.
Bianca Belair.
Belair. You could have took that match and put it in the main show because that match was taken out. So there's really no need for a pre-show.
And you probably could have cut a little bit from the Edge and Roman match.
I mean, the Edge and Roman match was fine. I just think, because honestly, you had, three Raw matches back-to-back before you had another, SmackDown match. You know what I'm saying? So, it could have been the SmackDown, then you could have been Raw, or you could have been Raw, SmackDown to balance it out. But you had three or four Raw matches that went straight across. I'm like, dang, when are you going to see another SmackDown match? And I remember they took the Bel Air match out. So
they could have did any women's match in the pre-show. Cause to be honest, they only had the women's Money in the Bank match and then the one other women's match. So you could have put another female match at the beginning of the pre-show.
Nah, they just didn't need one at all. Honestly, this year they did not need a pre-show match.
Yeah, and it's weird. I don't know why they brought back pre-shows because WrestleMania didn't have a pre-show. I don't think Elimination Chamber had a pre-show. And the one after that didn't either. I don't know why they felt the need to bring it back all of a sudden.
People.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, that's fine, but
people are back.
You could have threw anything. You could have just did a regular dark match or something like that. You could have did an NXT type match. Just put something on just for somebody to sit down and watch and give people time to get ready for the show. But to actually have a tag team title match of significance on a pre-show, that kind of does suck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Any match that does not... any match that has that does not have a significance or a big storyline does not need to be part of the pre-show. It needs to be part of the main show, which gives a reason for it to be a part of it anyways.
And then not only that, but that to me, that kind of told me how the end of the show was going to go. If the Usos won the belt, then I already knew Roman was going to win. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So it kind of told the rest of the story.
I mean, the Usos still could have lost and Roman still could have won. I don't think
Yeah, if they would have lost, they would have still had a toss-up for me. But the fact that they won and the way that they're trying to make this storyline go gave me an automatic, okay, I know Roman's going to win because they want all of them to hold the titles right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that means, do you feel like that was right, that they just forgot about the situation that Jimmy was in to just go ahead and give them titles even and despite what he just went through?
And they could have. I mean... Rey Mysterio and his son, I mean, how many title defenses have they really had since they held the belt? You know what I'm saying? It really wasn't, there's not really much for them to do. And now that people are back, they were like, let's give it to two people that we know can entertain the crowd. Let's give it to two people that we love and has a reputation with the crowd. So they gave it to the Usos.
Yeah. And I would actually argue it now that I'm thinking about it, even though I just argued against the pre-show, I'm going to do a full 180. It does kind of give value to the pre-show and make fans want to go back during the next show and watch the pre-show because they're like, oh, wow, this affects the main event. You know, I need to watch it for casual fans anyway. Hardcore fans know the pre-show doesn't really matter that much.
Well, like I said, all in all, it was still a good match. It was a good showing. I have no issues with it at all. So, I mean, I always felt the Usos was the best tag team right now. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, it's going to be hard for me to see anybody else take the belts off them. Well, I do see once one of the players come back from... Oh, my mind has been slipped from them. Bel Air's husband's tag team. What
was it? Street Profits.
Right, yeah, but ever since what's the name took him out, I think he injured his shoulder or something. He injured Big Boy, cut his beard off with
Big Boy Dawkins. What's his name? Dawkins.
No, White Boy.
Otis
running with Chad Gable. Otis, yeah. Ever since Otis took his took his shoulder out, they ain't been back.
I think one of them is injured for real. Like, I think one of them is injured, so that's why they're not on TV. But
Montez.
Well, yeah.
They said Otis injured Montez. That's why they're not out. But when they come back, they're going to be the first ones to go after them titles. I believe that much.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying, like, that's going to be a really good match. That's what I really want to see. So it kind of makes sense for the give them the Usos because then they can have an actual legit face tag team to go against. So. I'm cool with it, you know what I'm saying? Maybe not right now, the Usos had to win the belts, but somewhere down the road when Montez got closer to being healthy.
I mean, hopefully, once they come back, we'll see another great tag team match. So, Overall, though, I think it was a good match. You know, somebody got to cheat for somebody to win, so it's just all expected.
Yeah, but even without that, like, I still thought it was a great match. The only thing that I was a little bit disappointed about was with the Mysterio's entrance. I thought that Rey and Dominic were gonna pop out of the stage like he used to do. Like he used to do the little pop out and he would jump in the air. I thought they would do that.
But yeah. With that extra portal thing, yeah, I definitely thought they were gonna do something different.
That would have been dope. So moving on to the second tag team match we had. Styles and Omos versus the Viking Raiders. And that was okay. Omos, he's still green. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I see him do that the camera catches and it makes it look bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Like he's not, finish? not really the finish, but he's just not fast enough to get, like, say, okay, Styles gets hit with a tag team move. And you would want the other tag team to come in and save him to make it feel like, okay, he's part of the match. But like, there was a spot where Styles got hit with a nasty tag team move, and Omos is standing outside selling that he got, like, he's hurt. Like, bro, you just got popped in the face. Like, dude, get back in your ring. Like, slide in. Do something, dude. Don't just stand there and the cameraman just standing there watching the whole time. I'm like, bro, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand he's like 7 foot tall. He may not be the most agile and the fastest person, but at least, like, you know, you see that your tag team partner's gonna get pinned. Just start moving in that direction to slide in and break up a pinfall or something.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's not really a wrestler, so you're not gonna get that.
Yeah, he's just a big boy. So people can look at him and go, wow, he's a big boy. That's kind of why he's there.
They want to be oohed and awed.
Yeah. But those little psychology things, I feel that'll come with time. I'm not stressed about my boy Omos. I still like the vibe between him and AJ. I think AJ's probably teaching him a lot. But yeah, he's got more to learn.
I don't know if y'all remember a couple months ago when his head was busted open. I'm trying to figure out how that happened.
We still on that? That was like forever ago. I forgot all about that.
I still don't know why. That's why I'm still on.
Well, I don't know. I'd like to. Sue, what's your thoughts, man? We're talking about Styles and Omos versus the Viking Raiders.
So this is the match I would switch with the Mysterio Mysterio Usos match.
Agreed.
You know, when you look at the impact of these two matches, like, yeah, I'm the crowd is super, super over for AJ, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes this whole match kind of fall flat for me, because as hard as AJ, at least, because Omos just needs to stand there, was trying to, like, you know, be that heel and try to get the heel heat and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd wasn't gonna give into it, like, it almost even killed what kind of, you know, pop the Viking Raiders would have gotten if they weren't facing AJ Styles. I like the idea that, you know, they're trying to pit Omos with AJ so that way you can, like, help him grow and learn and all that. But honestly, you gotta separate them and you gotta let AJ fly. You gotta let AJ fly because the crowd, they ain't ready for him to be tied down to a tag team or a subpar, you know, partner like that, you know. And if he's going to be a tag team, he needs somebody who's going to compliment him.
Mm-hmm. I really think that, you know, they're going to do the typical, oh, we've been partners, and then all of a sudden somebody going to turn on somebody. Most likely it's going to be AJ because he has a history of already doing that and feel like he's going to leave Omos high and dry, but not realize that everybody already like Omos, whether he can fight or not, whether he a good wrestler or not. He has a fan base, so.
Yeah, he's an attraction.
Yeah. Right. I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. I feel like New Day honestly kind of, well, I mean, they're not done yet, but they kind of subverted that trend because they've still been together for however long. And they just genuinely, like, the characters just want to see each other succeed. So maybe that whole thing of, like, they need to break up, you know, tag teams don't last forever. Maybe that'll die. I hope it will, because it's ruined a lot of people's momentum and just, you know, yeah. And they end up getting on the chopping block or being released within months of when they get split up. So I hope
that
dies.
But I have a really deep feeling that eventually they probably gonna pin Kofi Kingston against Xavier Woods. Why? I don't know. Maybe because they've been together so long, nobody expects it, but I think they might end up doing something like that.
I don't know if they'll let it happen, honestly.
They're one of the few tag teams that they can market and make money off of, even if they're not tag team champions. And they come up with all these gimmicks, like, I know we're going to talk about Corky later. He came out there with the Grayskull attire in his match, which probably didn't do him any good, because Bobby Lashley came like He-Man and completely dominated the match. But nonetheless, I mean, like, they're gimmicks. Like, they came over with the green and white Power Rangers. Like, they do stuff that people, like, nostalgia, and for people of this today's time, they're not going to split them up, bro. Like, they're making too much money off of them, no matter, you know, whether they win or lose, they're still making money off them. So I don't doubt them ever splitting them up.
Yeah, but look what happened when they took Big E out. They're still making money. It ain't like they losing out because they separated them. Just imagine how much more money they would make when you got one side of the arena picking Kofi Kingston and the other side picking Xavier Woods. Like, they're going to make more money if they turn them both against each other.
Mm. Well, there's a difference between separating and splitting them up. Big E was never pissed at the other, you know, two members of the team.
No, he didn't leave. He's their biggest fan, if you ask me.
Yeah, so I think they could totally do that with other teams, you know? They don't all have to split up and be enemies, like... Dude, like, Heavy Machinery died that way. Enzo and Cass died that way. There's a bunch of teams that were... The Iconics died that way, even though they shouldn't have. There's a bunch of teams that's just ruined. That being said, though, I don't think AJ is suffering from being in a tag team. I think it's just another level of his career, you know? If you wait for him to be stale as a singles act and then put him in a tag team, then it just seems forced, I think. So I totally support it.
It's kind of like, you know, right now they don't really know what to do with. Okay, I'm using Randy Orton for example. They didn't know what to do with him. He just got out of like a title run. They didn't, with Drew, and they didn't know what to do with him. So then they just put him with Matt Riddle, and look at that. That's doing pretty good.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But where has he been?
Huh?
Where's he been?
He said, from what I read, he's just taking some time off. You know what I mean? So, like, you know.
At one point, wasn't Riddle fighting for Randy Orton to be in the ladder match? And then all of a sudden, he took the spot because Randy didn't come and show up or something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're going to go in that direction, but, like, I'm just saying from that these veteran wrestlers working with these upstart wrestlers trying to help build their career, I think it's a positive. It's a positive outlook. So the Omos and Styles, not to drag this on, the Omos and Styles looks like, you know, AJ's just trying to get him where he needs to be, where they can say, okay, we can start giving him a singles run. And so then AJ will do, like, I'll turn on him, you know, go against them, because AJ can go against anybody, big or small, and make them look bigger and better than what they already are. So AJ will take that for Omos to get Omos where he wants to be. That's all this is for AJ to have another title under his belt, because he's practically won everything under the sun in that company already. So it doesn't hurt him to work with Omos and let Omos build up.
Yep. Right.
And it makes people want a world title run for AJ even more. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Now, the next match after that, correct me if I'm wrong, is the Women's Money in the Bank, right?
Sure, dude.
I think the Women's Money in the Bank was the first match.
Was it the first one?
Yeah, it was
the
first match.
Okay, well, then it was a role reverse. I'm sorry. So then either way, nonetheless. So now we're going to get into the Women's Money in the Bank match. And we had Mickey, almost a superhero, wins the Money in the Bank contract.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
It's not that
she couldn't do it. I was just expecting more of either Naomi or Liv Morgan to win it.
Yeah, I was thinking Zelina was going to win it for sure. Didn't expect Naomi. And wasn't there supposed to be a surprise person in the match as well?
No, the last spot got filled by Tamina.
Oh, well, that's stupid. I thought the match was good. It didn't really compare to the men's match. The men's match was probably the best Money in the Bank match to ever happen. Hot take.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, dude, it was that good. The women's match was good though. I didn't expect Nikki. I don't like the fact that Almost Superhero is in her name. I feel like that's more of a tagline or a nickname. Like,
right.
Nikki Cross, Almost Superhero thing. Like,
took the cross out.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm with you on that. I don't like her new outfit either. It makes her look like a child. She's already small.
Yeah, I don't know. It's what she wants to do with her character, and I mean, shoot, they're, you know, they're gonna rock it. Yeah.
Or it's probably what McMahon wants. You know how, you know, he likes to take control.
Well, apparently she's the one who pitched it and really, like, told them this is how she really wanted to portray it, and they were like, all right, we ain't got enough for you.
Right, and I don't know what was the point of bringing Selena Vega back when you could have had so many other women in that match. And I didn't like her hair. I didn't see the point of that.
Well, so the problem is with, like, so many other women in that match is SmackDown ain't got no women.
They don't, but they're already having all these NXT women come over.
Yeah, because they ain't got no women.
Because they had none. Yeah, exactly.
That's why they brought Zelina back, because until she came back, they wouldn't have even been able to fill up their four.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't really care who won this match, to be honest with you, because...
Wow.
It's like that.
Look. I'm saying this because if you think about who you got, Belair, anybody gonna take the belt from Belair right now? No. You know, let's, you know. And then you had between Ripley and Charlotte. Is anybody taking a belt from them? No. So to me, it just was like, just giving this to anybody. Now, I know we may talk about what happened on Raw after this, if we have time to. Yeah. But
I didn't watch the whole show.
Huh?
I said, I didn't watch the whole show.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But just this will be the spoiler for you. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and get out of the way. So you have Nikki winning. And no, I'll come back. We'll come back to it.
Good point. Good idea.
Don't tell me.
It's okay. We won't. If anything, you can leave before we spoil it. But
yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, but that'll be later. Stay tuned, everyone. But what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, the money in the bank. The whole purpose of it. Well, there's two purposes. One, people who have potential, they give them a guaranteed, you know, brass ring, golden ticket. Here's your shot. We can't take it away from you now. And second, it's to protect the champion. Because if the champion's all beaten up and bruised afterward, then they cash in. It's totally fine. So if they give it to a heel, they could take it off of Bianca. And if they gave it to anybody, they could have taken it off of Rhea or Charlotte, which we didn't know at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, the finish of the match was kind of bad, too. Everybody's on the ladder, and then she just...
I like it. I like the finish of the match. She
runs up and grabs it, like, nobody else was thinking to grab it. Like, come on. Yeah. Like.
Nah, because they were too busy with their own crap. They were too busy, so she went, like, all right.
I'm okay, so what was this? She had to climb on top of Zelina. So Zelina said to me, like, yo, what you doing?
So Zelina's stupid for not stopping her.
She was in the middle of two ladders. Like, nobody was paying attention. Selena getting hit by.
She had to climb on top of Zelina to get. She had to climb on top of Zelina to get to it. Like, Zelina should be like, oh, hell no. You know what I'm saying?
Zelina was getting hit by old girl on the other side, Tamina.
I don't know. It was just weird.
Don't blame Zelina being stupid for not stopping Zuru? Nikki, for Nikki being smart. For climbing over her and grabbing the briefcase.
Look, I just think it was a different ending to the Money in the Bank. You never really, you know, seen it end like that. It's normally everybody on the floor and one person runs up the ladder. Yeah. You never really see it with everybody on top of a ladder. So, I give him a thumbs up for that. That was a great ending. Different. Something we ain't seen before.
It was the storytelling of it. It was perfect because nobody expected Nikki to win because her character was a joke character. And so she just straight up there and grabbed it and ran away. Like, that's
great.
Storytelling. I liked it. And, dude, the pop was huge.
I really was expecting.
You always got to remember, Vince always likes that Mighty Mouse character.
Yeah,
and she just gave him one. That's all really what it was. So
yeah,
I mean, it's
Nikki Cross has always had the potential. It's just I felt like before enough room to really be herself. They always wanted to control her and go do a vocal class, learn how to speak English. Like, she's not American. Like, let her. If we don't understand her, we don't understand her. We don't understand Asuka. You ain't making her go learn English,
right?
Yeah, or Shinsuke.
Right, like, come on. And they're still superstars. It ain't like they're at the bottom of the totem pole. So I think they just made a big deal out of where she was from, then worrying about her character and what she could do.
I just think her character was, when Nikki Cross was already, like, stale. And then you turn around and make her, like, the Mighty Molly verse. Because Mighty Molly, when she came into the business, you know, she had a really stale character. Mm-hmm. Then they put her with the Holly, you know, or no, that's how they put her with Hurricane, and then they gave her a gimmick, and that's kind of what they did with Nikki. You know what I'm saying? The character was gimmick, like, was stale. They really couldn't really build off it. So now they have a character you can build around it, and that's why she's getting the pop that she's getting, which is cool, but at the same time, I hate that you have to rip off another character to get to that level.
I mean, Nikki Cross was one of the very few people that came from NXT that kept her name, like,
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
I mean, but still, I don't know. I'm happy that she won it, you know, and we'll get into the aftermath somewhere down the road in the show.
Just by the way y'all talking, I already know what happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can use your imagination on that. So now we go into the next match we have, which is Bobby Lashley completely demolishing Kofi Kingston, bro.
Like, no comment. I'ma just no comment that one.
It'd be like that, man. It'd be like that. How are you gonna build a monster?
That was just disrespectful.
Yo, that's worse than what Brock Lesnar did than Kofi. Like,
it was.
Right. But see, at least Brock Lesnar did what he did, pinned him and got it over with. Bobby was like, nah, I'm gonna make you suffer.
Bobby was hiding his taps from the ref. Like, you didn't see him tap.
Right.
No, dude.
Wanted to punish Kofi. Like,
But at the same time, at the end of the day, I'm sorry, but Kofi was right. He has done nothing but get soft following around with MVP. I hope sooner than later he get rid of MVP. He ain't doing nothing but mooching off of your fame.
But at the same time, but MVP was the one who got him where he is. Like, you can't, like...
No, he used his mouthpiece, yes, but Bobby did the work.
Okay, but sometimes you need the mouthpiece to get so you can show your work.
Yeah.
So, well, now he don't need it no more.
Huh?
That's usually what happens. He don't need it no more.
Come on, I don't need you no more. Now that he's on the top, he's gonna abandon all of his friends. Come on now, dog. You can't do that.
Well,
he's
abandon
all of his friends.
Look at who is actually your friend.
Like MVP don't care about you. He care about the money you put in his pocket.
I don't know. I think that's a stretch. I think MVP cares, man. You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, most champions
you know
that
what
are like
dominant, that he doesn't care. You know what shows me that he doesn't care?
When, most champions when that are dominant,
Bobby Lashley, like, when Bobby Lashley lost and Kofi was saying all that stuff about him soft with all the ladies and all that, what's the first thing MVP did? Did he go to his friend and was like, oh, you know what I'm saying, you lost this one, but don't worry about it, you're going to be good? No, he tried to throw the girls back in his face and the alcohol, and it's like, dude, let me train, let me focus. Like, you a friend, you're supposed to be there for me.
But that's his way of showing him, like, it's going to be all right, dog. Let's go hang out with the ladies, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's his way of, you know, of doing that. Now, the end result.
But that's the reason why you lost.
But it, look, it'd been different if he lost the title due to him then. But the belt was never on the line until now. And then, like, you know, if Kofi would have never said anything and went into a title match and won it, then, hey, all bets are off. You got to let the man go. But the fact that,
Kofi should have kept his damn mouth shut. Kofi caught an ass whooping for his trouble.
Exactly. You know, so he got two. Yes, let him to the ball twice. Yo, every move that Kofi took, I felt like, yo, bro, you seen that lady's face was like, oh my god, like I'm glad it's over. Like the face, it was like, oh my god, I'm glad this is over. Like, bro, I feel bad with Kofi, dog. Like, we would have to fight in the back, yo, when we get this match over. Like, bro, I was done like 10 minutes ago.
Right, and not only that, but I think they only ended it because they started seeing that the crowd was kind of like more scared than like enthused. You know what I mean? They were like, "Ooh, this is just bad."
I think that was the purpose, because if you think about it, Bobby really hasn't had any opponents that's really been like threatening to him. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's been like, "Okay, well, you know, Bobby's been running through everybody." Like, nobody really made me feel like the talent that Reigns had to fight is not on the caliber of Roman. Bobby. And I think that's where they're trying to build. Now, at the same time, who they're putting against Bobby now does not help them.
But my thing is, like, my whole thing is just like, okay, you got all these big superstars, McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, Omos, you know what I'm saying? And you don't really have nobody that's going to stop them other than each other. So it's either you're going to watch the same match over and over and over in multiple different ways, or you're going to just pin that big person against a bunch of people that you know for a fact that he can ragdoll. And that's what they're doing.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, but the talent that Reigns had to go against is not the same as what, you know, Lashley has to go against. Like, Lashley hasn't gone against Orton. Lashley hasn't gone against Styles. Like, these people would make him work to keep that title, and we haven't seen him go against those type of people. You know, Drew was the last person he fought that really gave him a run for his money. Mm-hmm. And he needs more talent like that for us to feel like maybe he's on that level of caliber with Reigns. Because Reigns is still dominating him as the main champion of both shows.
Well, to be fair, Reigns has been champion since what? Last SummerSlam, pretty much. Bobby's been champion since around Fastlane. Like, what was it? The Raw after Fastlane.
Yeah.
So I mean, Bobby hasn't had as much time as Reigns has, and I'm sure with more opponents, he would show that he's probably just as, if not more, dominant by himself.
It's like, it's not to me. It's not the length. It's just the opponents that you put somebody against. It's not really the length. It's all good and well. But
you got to remember, like, for, like, 3 or 4 months of Bobby's reign, he faced the same guy.
Right. Yeah.
So did Reigns. Reigns fought Kevin Owens for, like, 4 pay-per-views.
Right. No, and it's just, like, it's certain things you get tired of seeing.
Right. The length of his reign allow you to see him fight Kevin Owens for that length of time, and it still makes sense. And then go to Edge, and then go to Daniel Bryan, and then, you know, so the length of his reign allows you to see that more people. Bobby hasn't had the length of reign.
Exactly. Like, Bobby started with people like The Miz, and now he has people like Kofi. Reign started with freaking Jey Uso twice, you know? And then he had other weaker people, and then KO, and then Edge, and now he's, you know, he's coming up. He's going up
still.
But
the thing is, for me, it's just like, okay, you keep creating these storylines of this person coming after this person, and they're like, I have no other choice to win. I'm determined. I'm this. I'm that. But then when you get into the main fight, it's almost like, to me, like, the way I see it is, you cowered out because you didn't even, like, even when you felt like you ain't having nothing, you didn't even kick out. Like, I don't feel like you tried hard enough like you said you would. Kevin Owens, you know how many times I'm like, he's going to win it this time. He is so going to win it and get disappointed. Like,
yeah,
I just don't feel like they're making these believable to me. Mm-hmm. It looks way too easy.
That just comes down to the booking, and SmackDown has just been better booked than Raw has. So,
I mean, I'm just saying that if Bobby was to go against people like Styles and Orton and not go against Keith Lee, who's been out of the ring for about almost 3 to 6 months, maybe the talent of it would be somewhere at the same quality.
Don't speak ill on my boy Keith Lee, bro.
I'm not saying
Keith Lee is cool, but
he's been gone for 3 to 6 months now. I don't really.
I woke up to that match. I kind of fell asleep last night, but I woke up to that match, and I was like, I got excited. I actually kind of woke up when I seen it was Keith Lee in the ring, because I was just thinking to myself not too long ago, like, where the hell is Keith Lee? But to have him come back and lose, like,
that's fine. Make no it's fine. Bobby's freaking dominant. That's all good. At least he came back.
I didn't know it was for the belt. I didn't know it was for the belt to the end, but it made sense once I realized it was for the belt. Of course, they're not going to take it from Bobby yet, but I just didn't think you make Keith Lee look like Kofi Kingston. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they didn't. They gave Keith Lee a fair chance. Kofi Kingston had like 1 minute of offense. Keith Lee had like half. The match was like 50-50.
So he had more time, different. But at the end, he just, it was just like, it seemed like he wasn't the opponent that he is at the end, to me. It just seems like he was just like,
he's been gone for 3 to 6 months. I don't expect anybody to win any belts after going back for 3 to 6 months. You know.
You should have been doing nothing but training.
I don't know what type of ring shape you in, bro. You know what I'm saying? You haven't been taking the type of beatings on a regular basis. So, I mean, I'm not really feeling it. I don't think you're not winning the belt on the return. It's a stretch now. It's a far stretch, but I don't know.
I want my boy come back even harder, so it's all right. It's all right.
Okay.
He gonna represent.
Okay. Now, the next match we have was another Raw match, which was the Charlotte versus Ripley match. And I thought this match was better than their first encounter. This match was better than their WrestleMania encounter.
Yeah, the outcome was exactly what I expected, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But knowing what we know, what happened on Raw makes sense.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
What I assume, anyway.
Yeah.
But still, at the end of the day, like, they wanted Charlotte to have that reign, that title. She had the Raw 5 times, the SmackDown 5 times, and the whatever the Diva one was before they took that one away. So now she's like an all-around champion. She's had every single belt, including the NXT belt, twice?
Yeah.
So it's like, they wanted her to have those numbers. They're trying to get her to where her dad is in the numbers.
Very obvious.
Yeah.
Probably surpass him.
Yeah. Honestly, the match in the beginning was kind of boring, if I'm being honest. But it picked up near the end. I like the crowd interaction. That was cool. That honestly brought it up for me. How she was flicking off everybody.
Yeah.
Did anybody else's screen glitch when Charlotte flicked everybody else off?
They tried to be slick. They tried to go black. They tried to turn the screen black while they're flicking everybody. Like, bro, it's this pay-per-view. Let it ride, bro. Just discipline her. Just discipline her after the fact. Like, yo, bro, you can't do that, man. You know what I'm saying? Yo, you can't, like, don't blank out the screen.
They're going to blank out the screen when she's flipping somebody off, but they let a promo go on Raw where, you know, Bobby says bullshit.
Yep.
Honestly, Peacock sucks, dude. I was gone during like the first hour of Money in the Bank. I was out that Sunday, and so then I came back and I wanted to watch the pay-per-view from the beginning, and I couldn't because it just straight up didn't work. I tried it on four different platforms, and I can't rewind back to the beginning of the stream. Peacock sucks. And it was blanking out during the men's Money in the Bank match, which was like the best match of the night.
That was a good match.
Peacock sucks.
Well, I guess we're not getting sponsored by Peacock anytime soon. I really enjoyed the finish, like Charlotte like slamming Ripley's head into the turnbuckle pole, and then like slamming her leg into the steel steps. So, like, into that was like, that was a done deal. That was a wrap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like that, the natural selection off the top rope, like that should have been over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That
was nice. Really good. I don't think she's ever done that before.
No, she hasn't. So, like, for her to do it and not get the dub, I'm like, bruh.
You got to build Rhea up, man. Come on. You can't squash Rhea. I like
Rhea. Rhea is my...
But it wasn't Rhea a squash. It wouldn't have been a squash. Like, she fell, knowing she put that on her bag leg, she fell, which set up the natural selection. I could have seen it as a finish.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, they had to give her they had to give her finish with the finger four leg lock, and okay, cool, fine, whatever.
And the only reason why that is because she's been working on the leg the whole match, well, all week.
Right.
Practically, yeah. So, like, I just wanted to say that this match was better than WrestleMania's match, and you know, now that we've already talked about it, we can talk about what happens. They have a rematch on Raw.
Yeah,
Charlotte wins. Rhea attacks her. Nikki comes out, cashes in, and she wins. Yeah. So.
And now Rhea's gonna go after
Nikki.
Her for the belt.
No, because Rhea lost her. Leah lost her rematch, so that she's out.
I know she lost her rematch, but she's still gonna try to go after Nikki for that belt.
Yeah, but she got to Charlotte got to get a rematch first. So the whole story is gonna be like, you don't deserve to have the belt. You're not on my level. Blase, blase, blase. So now, are they gonna bury Nikki at the peak of her character? You know what I'm saying? Because that's the problem right now. Because you got Charlotte Flair, who is trying to exceed her father and everything, you know. Yeah. She's only been in the company for less, not even double digits yet, and almost at that reign. Is she going to bury Nikki, or is Nikki going to hang on to the belt for a couple months?
Mind you, Nikki already beat Rhea and Charlotte. She didn't pin them, but she beat them on her record. She has a win against both of them.
He has the confidence
now that she can beat them.
Right. What I thought they were going to do is Nikki versus Alexa for the title, because they already have that storyline there. But people aren't too hot on Alexa's character as of late. They're saying it's kind of lame.
Yeah, it's kind of getting annoying. Like, first it was you got your powers from, oh boy. Now he left and came back, and you set him up to lose, and then he just disappears and doesn't come back at all. And now you got it from a doll who also now just disappeared. And like, it just don't make no sense. If you want to make somebody a spiritual or evil heel, like, you got to come up with something better than that.
Well, they can always do the good guy, superhero, bad guy, superpowers type gimmick. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe Nikki will become a superhero, official superhero now, that she has a super villain to go against. You know, that's
so from that's almost awesome. A superhero to officially a superhero.
Yeah, actually,
yeah, a superhero. There you go. that's how it's gonna play out. Mickey has to hold on to the belt until they put Alexa Bliss in the picture, and then she'll become official superhero now.
Right, and they don't have to change her name.
Actually, superhero.
Yeah.
Other than that, Vicky the superhero.
Yeah, I don't like Ash or ASH. ASH is worse than Ash. I don't mind Nikki Ash.
Or be like Nikki the official superhero. Something super corny that
or
be like...
or Ash, you know.
Just Ash. Catch him.
Just Ash. Yeah, you know. gotta collect them all.
Yes, that's what he says. That's what he says.
Yes, he goes, I must collect all these Pokemon's in my life.
Alright, so moving on to that one, then we get finally to the men's Money in the Bank match, which Big E wins, which I always had a feeling that he was going to win it. Like,
I was actually a little shocked. I wasn't like, oh, Big E can't win it. It was just like, wow, like, I wasn't, like, with all the people that they put in that match, I wasn't thinking that they were going to give it to Big E. Yeah. I thought they were going to give it to, what's the name?
I don't know.
Dang it, what's his name? That just came back. Becky Lynch's husband.
Seth Rollins.
There you go. What's his name? I really thought they were going to give it to Seth Rollins.
You know, that guy who never did anything.
Yeah, Seth Rollins. What's he ever done? I don't see why they would do that, though. I thought about
it too.
They were
just egging him on so much and having so many promos with him in it about the last time he cashed in. Like, it just made me feel like, oh, yeah, they're going to probably just let, they're going to give it to him.
I thought they might have done it, given it to him, and then have him cash in on the Roman Seth Edge match. And then Roman Edge for the, or Seth and Edge for the title. But I figure Roman and Cena for the title is a much bigger match. Oh, yeah. Cena has his 17th title reign at stake, and Roman is Roman.
Yeah, John Cena ain't no everyday wrestler, so you already know they're not going to give him the belt, and Roman's going to win.
I don't know.
Everybody else in the match, I really didn't see winning, so I know Big E was, I guess, would be the most obvious choice because I didn't see Ricochet. Kevin Owens just had a title run, title going against Roman. So if you give him, is he going to go to Raw? I don't think so.
And he went up against what's the name? The fake Nigerian.
Fake.
Apollo Creed.
You don't know anybody's
name,
if
he's really Nigerian? What if he's really Nigerian? You can't say that. You don't know if he's not Nigerian, man.
No, you can hear it in the accent. You can hear it in the accent. Well, you can hear
his
it in the
accent is fake, but he is of Nigerian descent.
Yeah, he's American.
He might have Nigerian blood in him from an ancestor, but so could I. That don't mean
his dad is actually from Nigeria.
Okay. But was he born and raised in Nigeria?
Okay, what?
Bro? You are American, my friend. You are American. Yeah.
But maybe he was born in Nigeria and moved to the States.
Yeah, actually, I think he was born in Nigeria and he moved here, so that's why he sounds white. Or not white, but American.
Yeah, and I was born in Pennsylvania and raised in Florida, but I don't walk around saying I'm Pennsylvanian. I'm a Floridian. I've been here since I was four. Like,
Don't tell my boy Apollo Creed how to live his life, man. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Right. I used to like Apollo until he did this whole gimmick, and now it's just annoying. He's just annoying. So I put him to the side for now.
I'm gonna tell you right now, this gimmick probably saved his career.
It really did.
It could have. Yeah, because he's never been this popular before. Yeah, definitely. But he's always been a great athlete. Like, he could have turned heel and just been heel. He didn't have to be a Nigerian heel.
His character was too boring to be a heel. Like, I wouldn't take him seriously.
No,
but he tried that.
Little time he was on Apollo Worldwide or Titus Worldwide.
Mm-hmm. He was heel.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
I've never seen Titus be a heel either.
All right, let's try to get back to the match. let's try to get back to this. Let's try to get back to this Money in the Bank match. Let's try to get back. All right.
You let us go into chaos. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you need to be mediator. Okay,
I got to bring it back. So we have Seth Rollins does this nasty powerbomb to KO through the ladder. That was nasty. Morrison did some pretty good stuff in the match. Like, I really thought it was more Morrison. Like, I don't know, Morrison just like to show off and shine, and he really did. And like, this is the particular match that he gets to show off and do everything, which I think he did a lot of moves and stuff. That corkscrew flip side elbow he tried to do, which didn't come out of his pant, landed out. It looked good, but the finish was bad.
Yeah, he didn't land it.
Yeah, he didn't land it like he wanted to. But I'm happy for Big E winning it because I have to decide who he's going to go against, because you got Lashley and then you got Reigns. And I think we talked about this on the show a while ago about Big E possibly being the one that defeat Roman Reigns because, you know, of everything that's been going on. So I think that he's gonna keep the briefcase, and he's gonna probably use it at next year's WrestleMania to go against Reigns, if Reigns holds the title that long.
That could be a good match and everything. But then again, now that what's going on with Lashley and how he just treated Kofi Kingston and how he's been doing Xavier, those is like brothers. Like, he might cash in on Bobby Lashley just as a extra like FU.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's also a good thought. I didn't think about that.
I don't know. It's weird to see a face holding the Money in the Bank, because then if they cash in on somebody while they're down, it makes sense. Like, it's the opportunity of it, and you want to be champion, but it's still a bit of a dastardly thing to do, isn't it?
Well, he'll do it like Cena, because Cena came up face to face. It's like, yo, I'm cashing this in. So it could be one of those things where he does the Cena opportunity. And I mean, like, if you think about the promo that he did with Paul Heyman was like, can you win the big one? You know, will you ever win? This is he can go up to them that one day and be like, look, you said something to me about winning the big one. This is my time to do it. He'll be like, look, I'm cashing in at this pay-per-view for this title. You know, that's motivation for him to use it. So I think that would be something they bring back into the fold moving forward if he decides to defend it against, use it against Roman.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Cause that whole promo is what I was thinking about when he won it. Like, okay, it's gonna bring him back to that.
Dude, that could, I can see that happening. Yeah, I don't know. I totally could see Big E just like running in on somebody. You don't need to be a heel to do that.
No.
Especially with Big E's character, he's very rational. He's just like, why would I do that? I'm just gonna run in and take it. You know.
Right.
He'll come in and face to face, he'll be like, look, I'm cashing it again against you. You know what I mean? And then that'd be the whole thing. That'd be the whole storyline moving forward. So now getting into the main event, which would be Roman Reigns going against Edge. I love the promo. The promo was dope. The match itself was actually pretty good. I'm surprised Edge made it through the whole match without getting injured. That was the thing that I took. I mean, the last two big matches he's had, he's been injured, bro. So
what are you talking about, bro? He didn't get injured at WrestleMania. He just took time off. He didn't get injured.
No, I'm talking about before that. He had that match against Roman Reigns, and then he had another match. I think both matches was against Roman Reigns. Randy Orton, he got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got injured with Randy Orton, but he didn't get injured. He got injured at Backlash with Randy Orton.
And then he was gone, right. And then he came back, got hurt again. And then he was gone again.
But when he fought Roman, he didn't get injured.
Yeah, then he ended up winning the Rumble.
Yeah.
He survived the Rumble, then he made it to WrestleMania and survived that. And then
came up number one. Like, I'm sorry, but that was I love that one. That one was awesome.
What? Which one?
When Edge came in number one at the Rumble and walked out the winner.
Dude, I am a proud Edge fan. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn what y'all say about, oh, he's old, he doesn't need that spot. He's not Goldberg. He's not Undertaker. He's Edge. He's the GOAT, bro. He's the GOAT.
And that's why I say you can't say. And that's why you can't say what's name been out for 6 months and come back and not endurance and all this stuff. Like, there's no way somebody was out for 10 years and lasted. That match was like an hour.
Like, exactly.
That's what he did that with somebody that doesn't. They're not gonna go over the top like that match. God, that match was just like they knew each other so well, so there's not like they really had to go out and do anything over the top. You know what I'm saying? The second match they fought with, which was that Last Man Standing match or the I Quit or something, whatever that match was that they had at the WrestleMania where he got hurt again. You know what I'm saying? We let him to be gone for so long. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I had an issue. Like, I don't know. It's just. Anyways, I'm not going to beat that dead horse again. I will say this, that I did like the match. I don't really like the finish of it. I don't like Seth Rollins jumping in, but I seen when Seth Rollins cut that promo, he's like, whoever wins, I got next. I didn't feel like he was going to wait.
That makes sense. And they're trying to protect Edge. If you think about it, Edge never got beat by Roman, clean. Because he got beat by him at WrestleMania when the Usos interfered, and then he got beat by him when Seth interfered. So maybe they're pushing that part of the storyline. I don't know.
That actually pissed me off a little bit, because I was like excited to see this one-on-one match. No matter who won, it was actually finally a one-on-one match. But
exactly.
Once Seth didn't win the Money in the Bank, I knew he was going to come out there and jack it up. I knew he was. But if he was smart, you should have been letting Edge win, or whoever was going to win, because if Edge would have won, you would have had a match that, you know what I'm saying, nobody's ever seen before again. We've seen you and Roman fight. And if we ain't seen y'all fight each other, we've seen y'all fight together. So it's not really something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Well, Seth is going to have to take another back seat because, you know, more likely Edge is going to go out to Rollins. And so that's how Cena intervened and stepped right in and took that next spot. So that's going to be the next match.
And that's going to piss Seth off more, because he was saying Edge stole his spot by just returning and demanding a Universal title match after, you know, time off. And that's exactly what Cena's doing, except with more time off and less of a reason for a Universal title match. So
yeah, but I love how he said, I'm just coming back because Roman's an asshole. I was just like,
there's few heels that I actually don't like, and Roman isn't one of them. I love Roman's character. I genuinely,
for somebody to finally say it was just like, yes.
Yeah, and I genuinely get peeved when Pat McAfee says the most dominant champion is Roman Reigns, because he's been getting all of his wins from the Usos, not from himself. And I know that's all character stuff and that's all booking, but I don't know. It just hits me personal because I'm such a big Edge guy, in case you guys didn't know.
But no, I mean...
Go ahead. I'll come after you.
I was just saying, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, regardless whether Roman's champion or not, the Usos are always going to be somewhere lurking in the shadows to interfere in all the matches.
Well, they didn't interfere in this one because the Mysterio stopped it, so that really didn't help. I mean,
well, they won the belts. They didn't need no reason to. They were celebrating.
Now I will say this: Edge did put out a match that I really felt like it made me feel like his older match. But he did the execution. He did that that one move where he yoked you from behind and he grabs your legs with a pin. Like, Edge made me feel like, okay, he hasn't lost a step. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he can go a couple more. Maybe he can go maybe 3 more years or so. I mean, he did take 10 years off. So we don't know how long he can actually go or how long he wants to continue doing this. But I do feel like, okay, maybe he might have a little stint in there. Maybe there's a chance he could win the belt back. But I don't know if it's going to be this title. They may need to send him over to Raw. Maybe he needs to go to Raw and win, but I don't think he'll win the Universal Championship title.
Maybe he needs to go get the 24/7 title.
No. Now you're being disrespectful. I didn't go that far.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine. I know my boy. My boy's gonna. He's gonna get his due. I don't have any doubt about that. And I mean,
I do think they are going. Yeah, I do think they are going to give Edge one last title reign before he, you know, actually officially retires. So he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'd be all right.
Let's talk about the ending. So you have Roman Reigns win the match. Now, I kind of wish Cena would have interrupted before he said, "Now you can acknowledge me." Like, as soon as Roman Reigns got ready to say something, I kind of wish Cena used it would have popped.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, once he said it, then Cena's music popped. You already know Cena's slogan. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can acknowledge me, but nah, you can't see me. So it's kind of like right on time.
No, I just like, as soon as he put the mic up to his mouth and got ready to say something, Cena's music drops. And then his expression looks over. I think that would have been, to me, it would have been better for me. Now, my other issue I didn't care for, Cena comes in there, does his whole speak. Roman, yo, knock the fool out with the belt. How you gonna let him come in and take your spotlight, bro? You should have dumped that fool. I'm sorry. I couldn't be a champion and let this man come in there and just take my whole spotlight after I just had this match and I just won. Whether by hook or crook, I won. And he can come out there and do his whole speak and then he's gonna get away with that. You can't see me. Nah, bro. I would have snuffed him with that belt and I would have put my hands on him. There's no way he would have won that. I would have gave him a reason to call me an a-hole by the end of by Raw. He wouldn't have came in there like that.
Okay. I feel you. I got a little animosity there, but I got you. I'm with you.
No, okay. I got this. You're not going to take my shine and come out there, do your thing or whatever like that. In the ring, you're just going to be like, whatever, bro. I'm here. You know, I'm back. I'm like, nah, bro. Go back and sit down somewhere. Nobody asked you to come back.
And it's probably just another way to just promote his movie, so.
Damn. I sure hope not, because then he's just going to lose and be gone again.
But that's what Cena does. Like, Cena, he did the same thing as The Rock, except for The Rock don't come back. But he ain't staying in wrestling. He make more money elsewhere.
Nah, y'all sleeping on Cena. He may pull the edge. He may come back and might be actually wanting to work for a little bit.
I could understand if Edge was in movies the whole 10 years that he was out with a neck injury, but he wasn't.
He was.
Does Cena have to go and promote Suicide Squad soon?
Well, you see what I'm saying? Cena's been in, you know, he has so many other avenues and so many other things in his life that he do. There's no way he can stay at WWE if he wanted to.
Well, I mean, okay, but let's think about this. He's promoting a movie that's R-rated, but Cena's character is for kids. So I see the issue of him promoting his movie that's rated R and coming back and hustle loyalty and respect. Granted, this is two different universes, but they are.
Yeah, but you don't have to promote the movie by saying anything about it. You just have to make an appearance somewhere else. And now people are going to be like, oh yeah, John Cena, he's awesome. I'm going to go watch all his movies and buy all his stuff because he appeared one time in wrestling. Yeah, like, that's all it takes.
You think their parents are going to allow their kids to go see Suicide Squad after they see it rated R? Man, you know how many parents walked out of Sausage Party? But when they saw that movie, that wasn't a kid's movie?
Okay,
man.
So Sausage Party, right? That was rated RR. That's like XXX rated R. Yes, that's not just parents, like scary rated R. And okay, they didn't advertise that it was going to be that type of movie because even I was shocked, okay?
Okay.
But the first Suicide Squad, people let their kids watch it. People let their kids watch horror movies every single day. With cursing and sex and violence, who says they're gonna stop them now?
Okay, once they hear the part where Cena said, "I eat every dick on this daggum island," they'll cut the movie out of there. Wait a minute, this ain't the same Cena that we watching Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect.
I don't know. That's the same Cena I remember from 2010.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how many parents actually know what their kids watch on a daily basis anyway?
Well, responsible parents, yes. But I mean, you know, what I'm just saying.
Those are the ones that's not going to let their kids watch the movie. But like me, I'll watch a movie before I see if my kids can watch it first. But everybody's not like that. Every parent's not like that. So you're going to have a lot of younger audiences watching that movie?
I don't know. It's a stretch.
Cena did say asshole. It was bleeped, but he said it. I honestly don't feel like he's the kid's character anymore. At least not as much as he was.
I mean, he's not even on Nickelodeon no more. So
exactly, I feel like the target demo has changed too. You know, WWE's not for 8-year-olds anymore. It's more for like maybe 13-14-year-olds at this day and age. I think.
If you bring Cena back, you're trying to bring the little kids back. I think that's where the notion I'm getting. If you bring Cena back,
but you got to remember the little kids that love Cena are now like 13, 14 years old.
Right. The kids that grew up with Cena that do love Cena that still have all his stuff, they were 8, 9 then. Now they're like almost 15, 16, 17 years old. So
they're going to be like, oh, yeah. I like my Cena acting. Their parents like gonna eat a whole bunch of dicks on this island.
We need to stop. If they were 8 in 2010, it's 2021. They're do the math. A lot older. They're almost grown at that point. So it's
at the point to where their parents aren't even monitoring what they watch anymore. That's probably going to be one of their favorite movies because John Cena's in it saying he's going to eat a bunch of dicks. So,
I mean, he was on Cock Blockers too, right? He was on Trainwreck. These are adult movies.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. He's just taking whatever gig he can get, I guess, at this point. But like,
and this is probably gonna be his biggest money. Gig.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, it's really just about his career, the money. Like, he's not going to stay in the WWE because the WWE will not be able to pay him as much as he's making on the other aspects in his life.
I think he's going to find a balance. It's all about the money, right? Like, he's not a horrible person.
You
got to
also remember, he's got a Peacemaker show going on HBO Max after, like, he already was filming that show. So, you know, this character that he's playing in Suicide Squad, he's got a future with this character.
Yeah. And, like, they filmed a lot during COVID, so...
Right.
He doesn't need to film for a while. Two?
What?
Should this be Suicide Squad Part 2?
There is a subtitle, right? It's not just Suicide Squad again.
No, it's Suicide Squad. This is a reboot, man.
Yeah, Suicide Squad. Forget
the first reboot. One. The other movie was like 4 years ago.
Right.
This is a reboot.
I was watching the preview. Like, did anybody forget about Will Smith? Like,
Will Smith's not in. But I'm saying this is a reboot. This is done by a whole other person. This is a reboot, dog. This is not even like.
I know they got Idris Elba now playing Will Smith's part.
Man, what happened to Will Smith?
That's what I'm saying. You know what
this ain't about. Wrestling anymore. Apparently, there's not enough wrestling because we ran out of wrestling to talk about in an hour.
Now we're into movies. But now, back to the show, I guess.
So, real fast, talk about what happened on Raw. So, we already talked about Nikki winning the women's title. We already made his appearance on Raw. Keith Lee made his appearance on Raw and lost to Bobby. And then Goldberg shows up and says he's next. So,
which is interesting. I really think that's interesting because when he fought McIntyre, it was like what, a 5-minute match? Not even 5 minutes, like 3 1/4. Like McIntyre mopped the ring with Goldberg. So for him to come back acting like he's gonna mop the floor with Bobby Lashley, it was just like, bro, did you forget what happened last time you got in this ring?
I hope Bobby kills Goldberg in the ring in front of everybody.
Not literally.
Dude, like, come on, man. Goldberg's gotta stop. That's gotta be part of his character that he knows that, like, he's too old at this point.
The one thing that I hate that I see WWE doing a lot is all the people that, you know, I don't know how old everybody is on here, but the people that I grew up with, the wrestlers that I grew up with, it seems like they're bringing them all back so they can lose the things they have built up in their career. Like, The Undertaker was undefeated for so long at WrestleMania, and then we're like, we're going to bring you back to fight somebody who's half your age. And, well, obviously, we know what the outcome of that's going to be. Like, why would you take what I've worked so hard for just in the blink of an eye for whatever you want to call it? Like, I just feel like
Goldberg was undefeated his whole career. Now you bring him back old as hell just to start losing matches? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
well, two things. First, Goldberg got beat in WCW a bunch of times. His undefeated streak was a very long time, but... And then his WWE run also was kind of crap, too. A lot of it. But Brock beating the streak made so much sense. And you would be silly to build up Undertaker's streak that much to not give it to somebody, to not give that momentum to build another talent up. They were thinking of giving that to Roman.
But then they also took the fact that Triple H never beat The Undertaker. So now you had to have Triple H beat The Undertaker just because, like, nobody even cared about that reign. You know what I'm saying? But you had to bring it back just to kill it.
The disrespect that Undertaker even lost at WrestleMania is still a travesty. I think that's one of the reasons why WWE is crap now. Because you take Undertaker and you make him lose his streak. You could have just let him retire with the streak undefeated, bro. That's 23 or whatever the streak was before he lost it, should have stayed that way. There's just something that you can't beat. That's just like an NBA player trying to win 6 title rings. Nobody has done that. Michael Jordan is the only one that won 6 title rings and retired, and that was the end of it. Now, that's something that has not been done since after him. This is something that they shouldn't have had to do for Undertaker. That should have been something that should have stayed undefeated and left it like that.
But I realize they've been doing that with a lot of the older superstars. Like, they're just taking away their title reigns, whatever they built up their whole career. They're just bringing them back now to lose against somebody like half their age. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, that don't even make sense.
Like, and then for Ric Flair's streak to be almost beat if Cena comes back and say he beats Roman Reigns and he wins his 17th title, he'll be the one to beat the streak. You know, there's certain streaks that just should not be broken, bro. And I think, you know, Taker's was one that shouldn't have been beat. And I don't think any male is going to beat Ric Flair's streak. Now, if his daughter may beat it, yes, I think his daughter's going to break it. But she'll be the first women 16-time champion that I can think of in the modern day.
Yeah, right. Probably.
You know what I'm saying? I think that they're trying to build a modern day superstar, but the standpoint of just Ric Flair's streak in general, she may break that too, you know, and that'll be something that Ric Flair would love. But look, I don't want to drag the show on too long. Anybody got any last thoughts before we get up out of here?
Not about the show itself.
Anything? Anything on the show before we give it on to Phoenix? Let her say her piece. Josh, you good? Supervisor, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm Gucci.
My thing is, like, why build up Aleister Black with all these stories? Have him come out, kick Big E in the face, and then fire him.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, that's there's a lot going on behind the scenes right now that
I feel like we could do a whole episode on releases.
Just that question. Yeah.
On releases and on all these talent being built up before they even get to the main roster, so then everybody's a big star, nobody can be a jobber, so then when you release anybody, it seems like the end of the world. Right. I think we could do a whole episode on that.
I just didn't see the point of having his story time and giving him all this screenplay, have him come out and kick Big E in the face. You know, I'm thinking there's about to be a real rivalry with that. Like, that would be a good match, seeing Big E versus Aleister Black, and then now he's gone. Like, what?
I'm sure
like,
that they didn't
just
plan.
Broke my heart.
I'm sure they didn't plan it for it to happen that way. But yeah.
But it broke my heart either way, so...
Yeah,
I mean, it bothers me that you release him, but then you sign his wife, like
back on top of that.
Yeah, like that's what I have an issue with. I mean, like you're trying to stick it to the man, like okay, but at the same time, his wife could have declined that offer. You know what I'm saying? Right. I think she took it while he was still working, and then once she signed, then they fired him.
No,
right. Now she's stuck in the contract where she can't get out yet until a couple of years from now, depending on what the contract is. And she has to work that contract knowing, like, yo, what the fudge? I just signed back thinking me and my husband going to be together. And then now you just fired him. You just fired him, and I'm stuck in a contract. Where-
I think what actually happened was they offered Alistair to come back, and he said no because he felt like they handled his character poorly. And they offered the same thing to Selena, and she said yes because, duh, why wouldn't she? The money's great.
Right, but I feel like the same way. Like, they gave Aleister Black no potential ever since he got to the main roster. Like, when he was at NXT, like, he was, like, raw. Like, he was... Then you bring him to the main roster, and you barely use him, and when you do use him, you got him getting his ass beat for what? Like, I just didn't understand why they should have just left him at NXT. Like...
There's a lot of things they could have done. Like, they brought Samoa Joe, they moved him back, they fired him, and then Triple H was like, hey, come back to NXT. And he went back to NXT. Like, Buddy Murphy could have went back to NXT. You know, there's a lot of talent that they let go that should at least had a chance to go back to NXT and do something great.
Right. You know? Yeah. I hope, you know, they pop back up eventually on any one of the three, you know, brands, because... Now that there's fans back, I think, you know, they're hoping to build the roster back up and not use the same few people that they've been using all COVID.
I could totally see them bringing back Braun Strowman. He's such a WWE guy. I don't see how they let him go.
Right. Like, they let go of a lot of the people that could have fought Roman Reigns or Bobby Lashley or Drew McIntyre and left just like a handful of big guys out there to do what with, like, to fight all the little guys around here. Like, like Sheamus, who is he really gonna fight that is actually gonna pose a decent threat to him and his belt? Maybe Damian Priest looks very, very, you know, good for that, but at the same time, the experience Sheamus got compared to Damian, kind of already know the outcome.
Sheamus is on this point now where he's in his career. He just, like, he's like Styles. I'm just here to help build talent up. And, you know, if you give me another title run, cool. If not, at least I have a job. I can, you know, do my thing and work.
Sheamus is starving, bro. Sheamus, he needs his job.
I'm not saying he's starving, but I just think, like, you know, he's at this point where he's in his career, like, well, I'm glad to be back, because at one point they didn't look like he was ever going to come back.
I mean, he did his movie thing and he came back, but he just didn't have how do you put it? Like, nobody really cared if Sheamus hit the main stage or not. It was just like, oh, it's this guy again.
Nah, I mean, I care when he came back. I'm just glad they didn't put him back in the tag team. You know, he's given a run by himself to show how dominant he was, like he was back in the 2000 days time.
Love Sheamus. Sheamus
is great.
I miss his big mohawk.
Nah, he looked dumb. He looked dumb. All right.
We're gonna leave it on that note. We're gonna leave it right there. We want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Hopefully we can continue to bring you good shows like we've been doing. Sorry about the little hiatus. And hopefully we can continue to bring some more shows. I want to thank the Phoenix. I want to thank the supervisor. And I want to thank Josh for coming back on and doing another episode with me. I appreciate you guys. And I appreciate all my listeners, all of our listeners. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Deuces.